to sort of feel like I ought to be doing a bit of keep fit or something. Not old enough. Get out of it. So, yeah, so I hope it will all work and you can hear me. So it's my honour and my privilege to talk to you a bit about the Easter story. And the Easter story is the story of true love. It's the story of what a father did because he really wanted to have his children back. So it's a story of true love. And I don't know if you've ever lost someone you love, whether there's been a fallout in the family and it's meant that somebody you're really close to, you can't see anymore, whether there's been a betrayal in the family or divorce or the hardest one, the most final one, death. But if you've lost someone, you know the agony that you can feel when you've lost someone that you really, really love. It's all-consuming. It's overwhelming. It's the hardest thing you ever go through. It's a horrendous heartache. I've got two girls, Sarah and Sophie. My husband, Jamie, always says the pecking order is the girls first and him second, which is true. And actually, it's true for him as well. The pecking order is the girls first, me second. It's just what happens when you have kids. They just, you'll do anything for them. If they go through anything, you go through it. I sometimes think you go through it worse. You carry the pain when they're going through pain. And they're so precious to me. And I'm so grateful for things like mobile phones because they're right gadabouts. They're away at uni a lot. And then they go out and see their friends when they should be coming home and spending the time with us. But we talk to them regularly on the phone. We speak to them once a week. And it makes a massive difference. But I can't tell you how devastating it would be for me if something happened and I no longer had those two girls in my life. It would be absolutely devastating. And I'm just trying to create a little picture for you, just a little glimpse of what the Father's heart is. Because whether you know him or not, you are his child. And his heart breaks for those children that haven't, that don't know his love and don't have a relationship with him, just as our heart breaks when there's somebody we massively love and we can't be with them. You may ask yourself, well, what is the problem? Where is that separation? Why is there this distance between Father, heart of God, Father's heart and his children? And the Bible makes it very clear that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. And sin is the failure to do what God has told us to do. If you imagine a target with the inner ring saying, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the outer ring, love your neighbor as yourself. We shoot our arrows, they don't hit the mark. We're guilty of trespass. I don't know if any of you were old enough to go to school and have to know the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses. Trespass means we do what we shouldn't do. God says you can have all of this, but that little bit I don't want you to do. And we go, oh great, I get all of that. I want that bit. I only want that bit. Why are you giving me all this? I want that bit. You know, we have that in our hearts that we want to do what we think we should do. We want to say what we think is right. What feels good to us is what we want to be our judge, and we commit trespass. And we're guilty of iniquity. We pervert the beautiful things of God. That's what iniquity is. And often we do that in relationships, and particularly with sex. And we're guilty of guile. We find it hard to be really honest. We rationalize our little untruths, call them porcupines, white lies, that kind of thing. But all of this, the iniquity, the trespass, the sin, it disconnects us from God. And that's why you have that feeling that God's a million miles away. He's got nothing to do with you. But the Easter story is a story of love. It's a story of what a father did to be reunited with his children. God so loved the world that he gave Jesus, his only son. I don't know how much you know about what the cross involved. It was the most humiliating, barbaric, painful death that at that time had been invented. Jesus was flogged 39 times with a whip that had pieces of glass and flint in it before he was crucified. So his whole back was ripped open. All his organs and bones were showing. It was vile, and most people died from the experience. Then he was beaten with clubs by the Roman soldiers, and a crown of thorns, you know, not the little thorns you get on our rose bushes, but inch-long thorns, rammed on his head, and he was so beaten up he couldn't carry the crossbar to Golgotha, the place of the skull, the place where he was going to be crucified. And then, of course, he had the 6-inch nails hammered into his ankles and into his wrists. And in order to take a breath, he'd have to push up on those nails to be able to let his lungs go down a bit to be able to take another breath. So every time you push up on that pain of those nails with your ripped open back rubbing against those splintered wood, it was a terrible, terrible thing. And he was crucified completely naked to be as humiliating as possible. And what the Bible says is that when he died on that cross, when he took all of that, he was taking Not all that physical pain, but the sin of the entire world came on Jesus. And the sky, we're told, turned black. It was like all the host of the enemy, all the hosts of Satan's hordes were piling on the accusation and the attack in that moment on the cross. And we're also told that the earth shook. And to me, it's like the heartache of the Father was expressed in the breaking up of the ground when Jesus died. And nobody understood what was going on. The Jews just thought they were getting rid of somebody who was a threat. The Romans just thought they were getting rid of somebody who was possibly a troublemaker. And the disciples, his followers, thought it was the end. They thought the person they loved had died, and that it meant he wasn't who he said he was, that he was just a man, he wasn't God. And Satan, most of all, thought he'd won. It's his goal to make a world of orphans, a world where you're just on your own, and it's just down to you, and it's up to you to try and make something of your life. That's what they thought. And when Jesus died, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because he took that separation that we have. And at that moment, Satan thought, yes, I've even made an orphan out of the Son of God. And it's because we don't understand that kind of a hero, because Jesus is the hero of true love. I was watching a Bruce Lee film a couple of weeks ago. It was a film about Bruce Lee. I don't know if anybody know him, the great kung fu fighter. I don't know why I was watching a film. It was late at night, couldn't get to sleep, so I ended up watching this film about Bruce Lee. And girls, if you'd been watching it, you might have been a bit mesmerised like me by the pecs and the amazing moves and the fantastic fighting, and he was rather good looking as well. And I was thinking, yeah, he'd be my kind of hero. Anybody come at me, he's going to sort them out just like that. Fantastic fighter. And I was thinking, if you're a man, you'd be just thinking, wow, because anybody fight Bruce Lee, they'd send masses. It wouldn't be just one man, loads of them, all doing their karate and the whatever you, and you just see him as fast as anything, and they're all flattened. And I thought, if you're a man, you'd be kind of, yaha, a bit of Matrix. You know, just in your mind, just getting a bit like, yes, what a hero, what a man. And you just can understand that kind of hero, the one who defeats every enemy, the one that lets nobody put them down. Yeah, you can really understand. That's what something in us rises to that. Yes, I want to be like that. And that's why nobody understood what on earth was going on the cross, because he just took it all. And the Bible says that he actually, like a sheep before a shearer is silent, he was completely quiet. He took every blow. He'd never retaliated once. And in fact, one of the disciples trying to hack off the ear of one of the soldiers that was attacking and trying to arrest Jesus, and Jesus stopped the disciple and healed that man's wound, because he's a totally different type of hero. And Jesus knew something really important, that every lash of that whip, as he took it, every disease that the enemy has thrown on this world and crippled people with was being destroyed. That's an amazing thing. It says, by his stripes we have been healed. And when he stood exposed on that cross and he took all our sin, Jesus knew he was taking every single thing that we've ever said, done, thought that was wrong. And he took it all because he wanted you to have a father. It's an amazing thing. And the Bible says he not only carried all our sins, he carried all our sorrow. And I don't know if you've ever done something where you've really hurt someone you love, particularly if you're a mum, it's a killer, because you know that you're not perfect. And all the time you've got your ideal of the way you want to bring them up, and then you've got the reality of how you do when you're angry or when you're upset. But when you've done something that you know you're really ashamed of, you feel an incredible sorrow. And it says that Jesus carried all our sorrow, all our guilt for everything we've ever done. He took it. He didn't cry out. He took it. He embraced it. He chose it so that you and I could go free. It's an amazing thing. And when he was crucified, he was crucified naked because the Romans wanted to humiliate their victims as much as possible. And Jesus took it because if you have ever felt shame, you feel as if anybody really sees me as I really am, they will despise me. And we try to hide ourselves. But Jesus took the exposure that we fear so that we could be completely free of shame. He's an amazing hero. He's a hero that's totally different from the heroes of the world, but he's the hero of true love. And he knew that with every blow, with every minute of agony, he was rescuing us and saving us and providing us with hope. And of course, he died. The Romans are really good at their job. They crucified him. They checked. They pierced his side. Blood and water flowed. They could tell he was dead. And he was laid in a tomb. And everybody thought that was that. Disciples went back to their jobs, fishing and so on, because they were completely disappointed, dejected, couldn't believe it. But it's not the end. The fantastic thing we celebrate on Easter Sunday is that on the third day, Jesus rose again, because true love, the Father's true love, is eternal, and death cannot hold true love down. Death could not hold Jesus down. So Jesus rose again from the tomb. The Mary Magdalene we saw on the quiz, she was the first person to get to the tomb. She'd come with all her spices. They thought they were going to embalm the body, but the stone had been rolled away. They met angels instead, telling them, he is risen. Hallelujah. So what does that mean? He is risen. Well, it means that everything that happened on the cross is eternal and everlasting, and it is as real today as it was 2,000 years ago, because Jesus is alive. Jesus showed when he rose from the grave that he is God and that everything he said is true. And when Jesus rose from the grave, he showed that death isn't the end, that death has been defeated. It's an amazing, amazing, amazing hope for us who are Christians. I know that I'm going to see my dad one day again. He's passed away when I'm 20, but I know I will see him again. It's an amazing hope. And I know for me that when I die, it's not the end, because Jesus rose again and defeated death. And it means that everything that we do has a significance. None of it is lost. All of it has a mystery and a significance to it, because it doesn't die. When death comes, it's not the end. And when Jesus rose from the grave, he showed that that sacrifice on the cross was enough. And now there is no sin, no condemnation, no separation for us. And it shows that there's no problem too large for God to deal with. He can deal with death. He can deal with sin. He can deal with sickness. There's no sin too deep, there's no shame too overwhelming that Father's love cannot deal with. He defeated Satan, he defeated sickness, he defeated sin. The cross shows us that the